You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Hello, good day. Welcome, welcome once again to ICS Church. My name is Chad. I'm one of the pastors here at ICS Church. We're glad that you've come to join us this morning. We're going to be together for the next couple of minutes talking about the Word of God. But hey, can you believe it? It's been a month. It's the last Sunday of April, and the ECQ has just extended in Metro Manila, Luzon, and different parts of the Philippines all the way to May. So I hope you guys have set your minds and your hearts for this. God is with us. God's going to see us through this season. But I am continuing to pray that this season will end sooner than later. And I want to encourage you to join us in prayer for this as well. Let's pray that a vaccine would be found soon, that fewer lives would be lost, and even those who are sick will continue to recover. All right, well, we're going to get into the Word right now. The title of the message today is Treasure Hunt. Treasure Hunt. I remember when I was in high school, one of my classmates just got a car. Parents gave him a car for a gift. And one afternoon, I saw the car from a distance as the school was ending, and I wanted to catch my friend before he left. But the car started moving, but the good thing was, down the road, it was just a straight road, there was a field, the athletics oval. So I ran to try to catch up and get his attention. So I was shouting with all of my might, waving my hands, calling out to him for him to stop and hopefully to catch the attention. And the closer I got to the car, the more I looked, I realized the driver was looking back at me. I was looking at the driver. He was looking back at me. And the closer I got, I realized it wasn't my classmate. And just as most teenagers would do, I pretended to shout and wave to somebody else. That was in that direction. Have you ever done that? Have you ever ran hard towards something and forced something so hard? You gave it all your might, only to realize in the end, it wasn't what you expected, right? You know, for many of us, that's how it is, especially when it comes to money and possessions. Have you ever bought something that was advertised that it was going to function a particular way, and the moment you bought it, the quality wasn't as good? Yeah, can you relate? Yeah, there's a lot of those, especially online, when you cannot test it for yourself and you just have to trust what it looks like on the website. The moment it's delivered, sometimes it's not what it says, what it boasts to be, and it becomes a disappointment. Well, you know, that's how it is a lot of times when it comes to possession and money. A lot of times, as followers of Jesus, if our sights have not been corrected, if our perspective has not been aligned with God's purposes, we would find that how we perceive possession and what we do with money can actually add more stress and anxiety than good things in our life. So here's one truth that I want us to remember for today. That is, what you run after can add worry, or it can either add life, right? This is when it comes to possessions and wealth. And wealth in itself isn't wrong, all right? So this is not a sermon that's against wealth. In fact, Jesus never preached against wealth. This was important. You know, among the disciples, there even was a treasurer, Judas. So money was important to Jesus. This was important to the disciples. In fact, the Bible talks a lot about money and how we are to handle it. A lot of times, it's our perspective and the wrong ways that we perceive it, the wrong ways that we use it, that actually makes it a problem for us. I'm sure for many of us, you know, before this ECQ started, that was in our minds. If not right now, I'm sure some of us are probably still thinking about that. Now that the ECQ has been extended, what are we going to do? Where's our funds going to come from? How am I going to provide for my family? You know, as fathers, as moms, what's going to happen in the days to come. Well, hopefully today in this message, we will find solace, we will find clarity, and we will find actually peace in the things that Jesus instructs us as His followers to do when it comes to issues of wealth and possession. So we're going to go straight into Matthew today. Matthew is found in the New Testament. It's one of the four Gospels. Matthew is actually one of the close disciples of Jesus. He was there. He was directly invited by Jesus to be his disciple. And Matthew ended up writing a story about Jesus. This is his own account. And one of his accounts, he records the sermon that Jesus preached, one of the longest sermons recorded in scriptures. It's many scholars call it the Sermon on the Mount. It's actually a combination of different teachings that Jesus had on this particular season and time. And so today we're going to go straight into chapter 6 of the book of Matthew, and beginning with verse 19. Matthew 6:19. Here's what it says. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Now, this is very clear that Jesus is reminding his readers. It's important. You know, they had the same challenges back then in the first century as we do today. There were some people that live for things. Are you one of those? I used to be like that. You know, I lived for things. I was an avid collector of CDs. You still remember those? Gen Y, millennials, still remember that. This generation probably has no idea what that is. But I used to be an avid collector of CDs. This was before the MP3s, before Spotify. And for a season, I also bought books. Yeah, are you one of those people? You buy a book that you see the title is really good, but you actually don't end up reading it, right? But it sits there on your shelf, and there's more of it, more CDs, more books, and you realize, man, all that money I've spent, and it's hasn't been put to any good use at all. And so for some people in the first century, apparently that's how it was as well. There were some of them who were focused on things, and that's all they were after, just things, material possessions, and acquisition of more things. In fact, today there are places in the world where you can actually hire storage space because you've run out of storage space in your home. You will now rent a room or another space to store more stuff that you actually will never use. You know, and you spend money to do that. And so here, Jesus is saying, you know what? This is an issue in the first century. It's an issue today in the 21st century. And he's saying, you know what? This is actually an issue of the heart. This is an issue of the heart where you're spending all of your energy and your time and your money in. That reflects really what is most valuable to you. Ouch. So this is a bit hurtful because right here, Jesus saying, where your treasure is, most likely that's where your heart is. A place of the seat of your emotions, of your wills, right, and your decisions. If those are the things that are occupying your wills, your emotions, it's about that possession, that one thing I need to get. And, you know, you're spending hours at work. You're putting in overtime. You're getting extra work. You're getting another job just so that you can have enough money to get that one thing that you want to possess. Then most likely, that's your treasure. That's your treasure. See, we may be able to say that, you know what? Jesus is my treasure. He's the one that I love. You can say that with your lips. But really, Jesus is saying here, it's going to be reflected by what you do with your wealth. What do you do with your money? That really will reflect what is most valuable to you and to me. How is your heart reflecting what is of true value to you today? Is it really God that is valuable in your life, in your heart? Because where your treasure is, that is where your heart is. Or is it in those storage spaces at home, right? You need to get a bigger house because there's more things that you need to fill it with because you are just having so many possessions. And these things are actually starting to possess you instead of the things that you're using or purchasing so that you could live life, now it's your possessions. The material things are the things that's occupying your life, your time, and your money. Jesus is saying, hey, when you run after those things, that is what fills your heart. So here, what we need to do is to learn to run after the right things. And Jesus is saying, run after things that rust, moths cannot destroy. That things that will not fade away. That even if you're out of this life, those things will continue to last. What are those things? I believe those things, first of all, of course, is our relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's one of the most important things. Our walk with Him, our life with Him. The other things is our relationships with one another, right? We love God. We love people. Jesus instructed us to do that. Our relationships with one another will impact eternity. Yes, it will. It's not just for this lifetime, right? Whether somebody in our relationships or our sphere of influence gets closer to God or walks away from God is determined by how we relate to them. But how are we investing in those things? Are we, in fact, investing in our spiritual life, our growth, and in the relationships around us so that Jesus is glorified and people are drawn to Him? Or are we investing more in possessions and things so that we could acquire more stuff just for me and not so much for anybody else? Jesus is saying, hey, these are some of the reasons why there is strife and life is getting filled with anxiety. This adds more worry to us, right? You realize that? The more that we acquire, the more we have to think about how to take care of those things or how to maximize those things. But the less we possess, the less we have to think about and worry about extra things. And we could focus more on things that matter most in life. One of the things that I appreciate about this past month is the opportunity to actually spend more time at home with the family. Now, for some of us who love our family, that's a big plus. But for many of us who are not used to that, that's a huge adjustment. I've heard of that from some folks, some family, and it's an adjustment for them because they were used to having a 9-to-5 job, you know, Monday to Friday, sometimes including weekends. And, you know, mom and dad, husband and wife won't see each other until the end of the day. And sometimes it's only an hour or 2 hours before they sleep, rest, and then they got to get up and go back to work again. But now you're with one another 24/7 because of ECQ, and it's a huge adjustment. I'm thankful for this because I believe God has allowed this so that we could realize really what is of most value to us. And this is one of the things that we need to be investing in today. Jesus continues to teach, how can possession and wealth either add value or life instead of worry into our life? In verse 22, he says, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. You know, some of us don't know what to do with our possessions and our wealth because we're focused not on the light that is Jesus Christ, but we are still focusing on darkness. Do you know it's possible for an individual to say, I choose to follow Jesus Christ today and yet not live like a follower of Jesus? Is that you? Right? If you're a person who does not follow Jesus, hey, this you're free from this. But for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ, we should not wonder why we don't know what to do with our wealth and our possession. Jesus is saying, if you are focused more in the things of this world, that's a symbol of darkness. It's a life away from Jesus Christ. It's no wonder that what occupies your possession and how you spend your wealth is only for this earth. But if we're focused on the light, that is Jesus Christ, then we will begin to understand through His Word and through the Holy Spirit that what we have and what we possess is to be used for greater things beyond ourselves. That includes, you know, using it so that God's love manifests through our generosity as we help provide for the needs of those around us. I love how the church and how some of you have personally, individually, have helped provide for the needs of those in your own communities and in your own network. Out of your own pocket, there wasn't an official call for it, but you started doing things, giving. and even collectively as a church, many of you have given towards our relief efforts. And this is the reason for that. We understand, yes, God has given us this wealth and possession so that we could continue to show His love and compassion to others. Not so people can say, oh, look at this church, or look at ICS. No, so that Jesus could be seen, His love could be felt where this help is extended. I'm grateful for a church that reflects the generosity of Jesus Christ. And that can only happen if our sights are adjusted to the light. If our sights are still towards darkness, then we shouldn't wonder. So we need to make some adjustments. Maybe some of you need to adjust your perspective on how am I supposed to use my wealth. Maybe we need to search more of the scripture and what Jesus teaches and what the gospel teaches us about wealth and possession. Because the moment we do that, we will gain a better understanding. Instead of these things being a cause of worry, it can actually add life, not just to us, but even to the people around us and beyond us, around the world, as we use it to extend the message of the gospel. Jesus continues in verse 24, "No one can serve two masters when it comes to wealth and possessions. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. For you will hate one and love the other." That's what he says. We cannot serve both. It's really interesting how God equates possession, wealth, with God. This is how serious this matter is, even for the first century. The original word they used there talks about wealth, and it was a neutral term. So it's not a term that's being used negatively. When Jesus talks about wealth, talks about possession, mammon in the original, it was a negative word. It's a neutral term. Rather, how it was being used, how people were relating to wealth, was the problem. Why? Because apparently money and wealth can become a master, right? This is supposed to be used. We are supposed to be masters of possession and wealth. But if we're not careful, if we're not aware, if we're not leaning towards the light and following Jesus Christ wholeheartedly, knowing what He's instructing us to do, this wealth and possession actually become our God. That's what Jesus is saying here. And you know, wealth and possession is not a benevolent master. This is actually a very cruel master. We need to learn to serve a benevolent master. How do we know? Because Paul has something to say about this, right? Several years later, Paul echoes the same principle that Jesus Christ taught. And he's writing to Timothy, instructing him to instruct the church. Here is what Paul writes. He's one of the disciples of Jesus. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, he says, "True godliness with contentment is itself great wealth." This is actually the goal, that we come to a point of contentment in life. And it's not all about striving to gain more and to possess more, but rather to come to a point of contentment, knowing that God is our provider and He has a purpose for all that we possess. Paul continues, "After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we cannot take anything with us when we leave it. So, if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content." There's the word again. But people who long to be rich, people who are not content with what they have, who don't, you know, even though their needs are provided for, want more, people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Again, it's not wrong to be rich. God has blessed many people, right? It's not wrong to be rich. But what is wrong is when money becomes the root of evil, becomes the source of evil. If it's not used for the purpose that God intended it, to reflect His love, to propagate His gospel, then it becomes self-serving, then it becomes our master, and we begin to serve money instead of serving God. People, some people craving money have wandered from the truth, the true faith, and pierced themselves with many sorrows. So there are people who are followers of Jesus, but at one point were blinded by wealth and possessions, and because of this have walked away. They surrendered. Instead of continuing to follow God, they started serving money instead. That is why I tell you, Jesus, echoing again, let's go back to Jesus' sermon. That is why I tell you, do not worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, is it life more than food and your body more than clothing? And the answer, of course, is, of course it is. Of course it is. I mean, Jesus is saying, of course life is more than food. But some of us do that. It's not just wealth. We allow food and our own physical, pleasurely cravings to be Lord over us. Jesus is saying, hey, life is more than that. Life is more than your body. Even though we take care of it, right? We want to be healthy. We want to be strong. Don't make that your God. Your body is not your God. Health is good, but it shouldn't be your God. What about clothing? Yes, that's good. You know, I like to dress up. I like to look good, but I'm not going to spend so much money that I don't have just to get the brands and the clothes to make me feel good about myself. Jesus saying, hey, life is more than those things. The first century people were preoccupied with that, and in the 21st century, it looks like people haven't changed all that much. He goes on, he says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? And the answer is, of course, yes, we are more valuable. We're his sons and daughters. Jesus continues to ask a question. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And we answer, no. No. Adding worry has never added life, right? Being more worried about situations and things that we don't know has never added life. In fact, it actually takes away from life. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So there it is. Jesus bringing to surface what really the matter is. You know the reason why we get so worked up, why we get so worried and anxious about our daily provisions, about shelter? It's because we actually are lacking in trust in God. Man, that's hurtful to hear, right? But that is the reality. If this is a rebuke or a correction that you're receiving, would you receive it as from the Lord today? He loves us so much. That's why he brings this word to us. He's actually saying, you know what? It's an indication of a lack of trust in your heavenly Father when we begin to worry about daily provision, about these things. So Jesus says, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. He says, you know what? We're no different from people who don't follow Jesus. That might be the reason why some people who are close to us, maybe family, friends, acquaintances, they don't come to us when they're in need, because they see that we're worried, we're anxious when we feel like there's going to be a lack. Jesus is saying, you know what? That's exactly how people who don't have faith in God respond to those situations. And we need to change. That shouldn't be us, because that is an indicator of a lack of trust in the good Father, in a benevolent Master that we have. The Father already knows what we need. What you run after can either add worry or add life. So instead, Jesus says, here's what I want you guys to do. Instead of worrying about your clothes, what to eat, about your provision, here's what I want you to do. I want you to seek the kingdom of God. In the NIV, it says, seek his kingdom first. Above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. What do you need to set right today? Is there worry that is preoccupying your heart? Are you running after treasures that will waste away, that is here today, that it's gone tomorrow? Hey, Jesus is saying, hey, get preoccupied with running after God's presence, because His presence never runs out. Let's get preoccupied with investing in love and grace and mercy and kindness and gentleness towards the people around us. Why? Because those things will last. Let's grow in righteousness and living the way that Jesus wants us to live, because those are the things that will last. And what about my everyday need? Hey, your Heavenly Father already knows. He already knows. If you put Him first, if you put your trust in Him, your needs are already provided for. You don't even have to worry. The reason we shouldn't worry is because the God that we serve loves us, and He is a good God, and He is providing all that we need as His children. In fact, Jesus goes on further for some of us who are worried beyond those things about the unknown. Hey, verse 34 says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. You don't even have to worry about what hasn't arrived yet. Why? Well, first of all, God is already there. He's omnipresent. He's not confined by our timeline. And God has already taken care of it, especially for His sons and His daughters. He's a good father. He only gives good gifts to His children. So, for us to live a worry-free life, when it comes to possessions, when it comes to wealth, let's run after what's right, not the wrong things. Let's fill our hearts with the treasures that are heavenward, that will last for eternity. Righteous living, loving others, loving God. Let's adjust our sights towards the light. Let's stop looking towards darkness and reflecting a heart that reflects a world. Let's rather reflect the heart of God through our life as we allow more of Jesus, His Word, His teachings into our life. And let's serve a benevolent master. That is God. Not money, but God. God is a benevolent master. He's a benevolent king. Jesus is a Savior that loves us, and He's poured out Himself over us. This is His desire for us today. What you run after can either add worry or it can add life, especially when it comes to money and possessions. The psalmist writes in Psalm 37 about his experience growing up, seeing how God led the nation of Israel and those who will put their faith in our Heavenly Father. Here's what he writes in Psalm 37, verse 25. He says, once I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. This is a truth statement about our Heavenly Father. He is a good God, and He will always take care of His children. If you're today worried and anxious because the ECQ has been extended, hey, don't worry, don't fret. God is with you, and He's already gone ahead of you. He's already answered your prayer. He's already provided for that need. And all you need to do is to walk in obedience to Him. Seek Him first. Walk righteously. Invest in things that will last. Focus on things that will last in your life with Him and life with people around you. And He will see you through. Worry has no place in the lives of those who follow Jesus Christ. Why? Because God has already answered these needs that occupy our thoughts daily. He has already answered it. And He wants to bless us more than our daily possessions, so that we could reflect His love, His grace, and His mercy to the people around us, to the situations around us. That is how we become light in dark places. Come on, let's pray together today, and let's come to Him with all our cares and concerns. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful that You love us so much that You made it possible not just to provide for our physical, emotional, daily needs for ourselves and our families, but You have provided so that we could be a blessing to others as well. In fact, Your blessings are right there ready to be reaped today. If we would trust in You, if we would believe in You, if we would sow into others, we could begin to experience that. multiply in our lives. And so we ask, Lord, that you take away any cares and concerns that we may have today, and you replace it with worry. Today, there may be some of you who don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Will you come to Him in faith? This promise is for you as well. If you would just trust in Him, He will lead you. He will provide for you. He will take care of you. So if that's your desire, make this prayer as if it's your own prayer right now. Lord Jesus, would you come and lead my life beginning today? Forgive me from every wrongdoing, every sin, every wrong decision I've made. I thank you because you came, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for me, paid for all my sins so I wouldn't have to. I receive you now as my Savior and want to follow you as my Lord. I ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. You know, all of heaven is having a party, rejoicing because of that decision you made. Would you let us know of this decision so that we could send you information on how you can grow as you follow Jesus Christ every day? You know, there was a story I heard as we end today of a young man. He was a pastor. He wasn't a rich pastor. And he came to meet with another fellow pastor who was a mentor over his life, who was going through physical difficulty, was going through daily dialysis. And this poor pastor felt the Holy Spirit nudge him and say, give that money that you have, except enough for the ticket for you to go home, you know, for your bus fare. And he was arguing with the Spirit, whispering to him to give. But every argument he brought up, you know, the Holy Spirit had a response. He would provide, that he would take care of his needs. So finally, this young, poor pastor gave in to the nudge of the Spirit. Approached the pastor, was going through difficulty and going through sickness, and he said, you know, I feel led to give this to you. And that older pastor resisted for a moment because he knew that this individual had more needs. But as this poor pastor explained to him the reason for doing so, in reluctance, the older pastor received it. And so traveling home, this poor pastor was getting ready. He was trying to think, how am I going to explain this to my spouse, to my wife? I'm going to be in trouble, you know, the moment I get home. But as he reached home, as he was walking towards the house, he saw his wife running towards him, full of joy, smiling all the way. And she said, you know, you won't believe it. This morning, a gentleman came and handed me this thick envelope. The moment they looked inside, it was full of money, more than they needed for that month. And he just responded with joy and rejoicing because he knew at that point that God was just moving in his life. That morning was a confirmation that it was the Holy Spirit that led him to release generously towards that older minister who was in need. You know, there are stories like this that we hear all the time in Christian communities. And sometimes we think, man, is that really true? And the only way for you to find out is if you trust the Lord daily with your needs. Because as you do, you will see Him show Himself faithful to you every day. God is a faithful God. And I pray that this week, as you walk in obedience to all that He puts in front of you, for you to experience His blessing, His protection, and His provision in all that you do. Get in touch with us when you can. If there are needs at all, let us know. You can message us right here on this page. But we pray that you would experience God's blessing and goodness in all that you do. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.